You dropping bricks on dogs!
Geek Juice Radio.
I mega faulted your mother.
You like discussions about incest?
Because first of all, it's the worst movie ever made.
The link ain't blue, so I can't click.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com. Welcome once again to another episode of Geek Juice Radio. I am Tom Bad Guy, doing this intro because I have a gun pointed at my head from Kevin Daly. Why, Kevin Daly, are you doing this to me?
I just snapped and it's the only thing I can think to do.
Along with the gun pointed at my head, I have a sword in my throat by Alex Jowski.
How are you doing?
Where'd you even get a sword? Who let you have one?
Wait a minute, that's not a sword.
Oh god. And then, coupled with a grenade down my pants, with his hands still in that, is Charlie McMullen. Why, Charlie?
Because they need to be checked at least once a week. It's for your own safety, Tom.
And our special
safety
guest
is not guaranteed.
Who is just pointing something in my back, I'm afraid to turn around and see what it is, your special guest, Dustin Kidd. And how are you today?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. Thanks, Alex, for hiring me to be here. I mean, for inviting me to be here. Yeah.
Also, no, he's great to be on. He's just very tall.
I can tell he's happy, though.
I'm the complete opposite of tall.
That is three jokes, and we are not even 5 minutes into the show. Thank you, folks. Thank you very much.
Well, we're just giving the fans what they want.
And I'm actually breaking tradition. You know, I forgot. I'm not drinking anything.
Oh, my gosh. I needed to get my drink.
Actually, I'm not either. I'm broke as hell.
So we're doing
the show
sober?
And I have a drink.
No, I have a drink. I got a special drink. I have to grab it, though. I'll be back in like 2 seconds.
While Jowski's upstairs, I'm noticing on his computer desk down here, he's got this tiny, I guess it's a serape that they were giving away at first in on Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing he's not using it to put on a beer bottle. I think it's like a role-playing thing, like he makes it into like a bandito.
Does he draw like a smiley face?
A mustache and a sombrero.
Well, the mustache was already there.
Mustache. If he starts going, if I start hearing him go, I'm never talking to him ever again.
Mexican lap dance.
As long as he wears the serape correctly and not like that dude in that movie we reviewed, and I can't remember which Joe D'Amato film that was.
How does one wear a serape correctly on their penis?
Charlie.
Okay.
Ask Jowski.
What?
Jowski, how do you wear a serape correctly on your penis?
Oh.
There's no problem.
Oh, that's simple.
What's that?
That is good. What is it?
It is nameless brand of beer. It's
I thought you had taken the label off. There was really no label?
There was really no label. It was made by some guy.
Uh-oh. Nice. Jowski's drinking a hobo swill.
What does it taste like?
It is a red.
It tastes like a heterosexual blue moon.
It's made by one of Martha's friend's husbands. He's like, I made this red beer. You can have some.
Hmm.
So that is what I'm drinking tonight. It's pretty good.
Is there any more up there? I haven't been sick in a while.
No, there's only so many. He only gave us a few. Anyway, our topic tonight is sports video games.
No, it's not. It's Tom's going to get a beer. Hold on.
The idea crept into his head of doing a show sober, and he said, nay.
My wife is very kindly retrieving me a beer, but I told her to surprise me. And she said, oh, I'll get you something. This could be bad.
A surprise would be a raspberry tort.
It's just like Pruno.
I've been brewing this bag of Pruno for weeks just for you to ask that.
It's been under the mattress.
Sorry about your back, by the way.
I just heard her say, how long has this been in here? This is not going to be good.
Like she asked that to herself. That's definitely not good.
No, it's not.
Actually, you want a funny story, Kevin, about stuff you should and should not drink?
A Pruno story? Sure, go for it.
Because Martha weaned the baby today.
fermented mare's milk? Are we going Mongolian with this?
And I told her, his attempt to make a tasteless joke, that I'm like, we should just hook you up to a milking machine and just make our own cheese from human milk and stuff.
Oh, God.
And then she proceeded to tell me that people actually do that.
Apparently they make ice cream from it, the wife informs me.
Yeah, they make ice cream and cheeses from it, and she's like, it's actually pretty easy to milk a person, and she whips her tit out and sprays my eye with
milk. Oh my god!
That is Jesus. That is the best story I think you've ever told me.
Wow.
Some awesome stories.
Well, thank you for having me on here, Alex.
Yes. Welcome, Dustin. This is what you've been missing all these months.
Yeah. Titty milk.
If you've ever listened to the show, Dustin, this is par for the course.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome. Keep your distance from the tit milk.
Look at it this way, Dustin. You're not in the same building as Jowski. Charlie, unfortunately, is in the same building, so yep. He may get sprayed as well.
Oh, no.
I'm being bad because I'm not saving the La Rosa. I'm just going to open it now because I have no other beer.
All right, I was just served something very light in color.
And when I come back next week, I do expect a titty sundae.
I'm pretty sure this is Coors Extra Gold. It's been a while since I've had it. It's cheap beer, but it's good beer.
I'm drinking Birra Moretti La Rosa, Kevin. This stuff is fucking awesome.
All right, we ready to get to sports video games now?
Yes. Oh, wait, I got to get some out of the way. Dustin, you're from Canada, right?
I am.
A and a boot. All right, it's out of the way. Nobody say it for the entire show. It's out. It's done.
But Tom, is it oot? That is the question.
Yeah, we're going to talk about sports video games. And Jowski, you want to talk about it, so you talk about one you remember liking or whatever.
Well, mostly I came up with the topic because I wanted to compromise with video games while you wanted to talk about sports.
Well, I'm sure you played a sports video game.
Yeah, there's a couple Madden games I played. I used to play NHL 98. Like crazy on the PS1.
Was that the one where you could knock them on the ice and make them bleed?
No, that was on the Sega Genesis.
Yeah, that was Sega. Are you thinking about Swingers too?
Yep.
That's one thing I always remember from that movie.
Well, I do remember Bill Laimbeer's combat basketball.
Yep. And I play the shit out of NHL 96.
Yeah, you know, and I feel kind of dumb for not getting them, but they actually keep getting better and they look better the more they keep coming out with them every year. And I heard they're, like, very highly rated games and stuff. I'm just not too much into hockey because all the players I knew growing up don't even play anymore. So it's kind of hard to get into for me.
I kind of cut my teeth on NHL 94 back in the day.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What was the hockey game on the SNES? Or not the SNES, the NES. Where you could choose the characters and they could either be small, medium, or fat.
Actually, I think it was small, medium, or Mario.
Yeah, the fat guy looked like Mario. Do you remember what it was called? Was it just like hockey?
It was called ice hockey.
Yeah, ice hockey.
Yeah, ice hockey. Okay, yeah.
That's all that it was. I remember I made a whole team of really fat guys.
Yeah. It's amazing. Speaking of NES, there's one I always played. It's addicting, but it'll probably piss you off so much. Me and my brother, growing up, would beat the shit out of each other at this game. It was the first RBI baseball in the NES. Because that game was so cheap. To just basically cheap out the other person. What you do is you get on first base, you go to steal, and you can act like you're sliding, so they'll throw that base, and then you can just turn around in mid-slide and run to the other base. And every single time your brother did that, like, we get black eyes and bruises playing that f***ing game. And it had Houston on there with Nolan Ryan. So if you picked Houston, Nolan Ryan, the opposing team was not hitting the ball. When we played, we had to outlaw that team, so it would be fair.
I think my favorite sports game as a kid was an NES game by SNK, of all companies, called Baseball Stars.
Was that retitled Baseball Simulator 2000?
I don't think so, but it did have, like, early create a team, and it had no professional MLB players. They did have the American Dreams team, which actually had old school like players. Like, according to the Wikipedia article, it was Pete, who was Pete Rose, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, Sandy Koufax, Cy Young.
Carl Yastrzemski.
Because this is the team you want to go up against.
Yeah.
But
like somebody just had a time machine.
Actually, it's a team you do want to go up against because somehow Pete Rose will find a way to bet against himself and make them lose so he wins money. I went there. I totally went there.
I just remember liking to use the creative team because you can change your team with colors and make their own uniforms and set up the kind of the style the team plays and stuff like that and then run them through like a league play. You know, 1989 an NES game. I thought it was pretty good.
There's one game that I know even people who, like Adam, Scorpius Jones, even somebody who doesn't even like football played growing up, and that was Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
That game was awesome.
That was a good game.
That was classic.
The one football game that, like, I was addicted to as a kid, and I'm sure I'm a lot younger than you guys, so, like, me growing up, N64 pretty much ruled the majority of my childhood, but it was NFL Blitz. That game was just amazing. Just these jacked up giant dudes on steroids. Just, you could plow guys and just, like, it was crazy. It was insane. Just that game was so addicting and fun.
Didn't they have like a bone snapping sound effect?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time you hit a guy, and then like there was like the thunder and lightning and stuff, and it was just like crazy. I love that. See, I miss games like that, because games nowadays, they're not like that anymore. They don't have fun with the concept, I find. It's just your generic Madden and NHL and FIFA. It's just EA and the 2K games, and they don't really try and have fun with their titles anymore.
Yeah, most sports games nowadays are just a basic, straightforward, this is the sport, and how realistic, trying to be as realistic as possible to that sport. There's no fun novelty sport games anymore.
Yeah, like why bother playing if they're just going to look like regular games?
I call question on Alex's judgment, because how many of them have you actually played recently?
I played NHL at Nate's house recently.
Oh, you did. Well, that game was actually pretty good.
Yeah, but it would still, it's a fucking game.
Yeah.
It's
okay. I'm gonna digress real quick back to NFL Blitz, because I don't remember playing on 64, but I always remember playing it in the arcade. It was fun.
You also had it on PlayStation.
Yeah, and you had to, like, in the arcade, you had to pay credits for, like, each quarter. Like, playing NBA Jam in the arcade. Mm. Like, you had to pay credits for each quarter you play. But I remember that. I remember when you, like, turboed or whatever, you'd, like, get set on fire, and I just remember getting so pissed that the opposing team would score, but you could still go up to him, grab him, like, powerbomb them in the end zone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I always remembered, like, instead of just tackling a guy, you could, like, grab them, swing them around, then, like, throw them face first in the ground. That was so much fun. Me and my brother always played that game, like, all the time, and it was fun. And, like, that and, like, NBA Jam, you don't really see much games like that anymore.
I loved NBA Jam.
NBA Jam's, like, classic.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of that, like, I never played NBA Jam until my friend found a code where you could play as George Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved it after that.
There
I was always George Clinton.
A bunch of codes. You could do the big head code.
You do Warren Moon, who wasn't even a basketball player.
Norman was a football player.
Yeah, but there it was in NBA Jam.
There was a time my friend and I played, and we would intentionally end each round of overtime in a tie to see how long it would let us go on. We ended up with like an ending score of like 1,000 to 1,001.
But even those fun games still had their dark, crappy ones. Like college basketball spinoff of NBA Jam was College Slam. And it was pretty much the same game, except for one thing. The commentator was Dick Vitale saying the same over and over and over again. Dipsy doo, dunkaroo! It's like, oh my god, shut the up. And I feel bad because his kids go to Notre Dame, so.
did you ever play White Men Can't Jump on the Jaguar?
Oh,
no, I never had a Jaguar because I'm a sane person.
I've seen clips of that game.
You get, like, a basket, and it shouts just random stuff at you that it thinks is street slang. It's like, you just hit a pillow!
That's going to be my new catchphrase now.
You dropping bricks on dogs!
Yeah.
I remember, like, the Woody Harrelson looked like a, like, Quasimodo.
There's a kangaroo in the house!
Don't you be talking about my wallabies.
There was also...
I keep a gat in my pouch!
Actually, I want to go back to the modern
Barkley's Shut Up and Jam.
Yeah, that one.
You've been bringing that one up lately a lot.
Yeah, because I played that on my that one night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was terrible.
But I want to go back to the modern games. Like, if you look at the recent, I'm going to go football. If you look at like the recent Madden that came out, the NFL had that lockout, and the game reflected that because it was buggy and didn't feel like it was done. And it's starting to really get hard for each new version to either look better or try to add new stuff. The main thing that they kind of focus on with Madden is like the online play, because it's a huge online game with a huge online community. And I think most sports fans, not everybody, but probably most sports fans like the game where it's as super serious as possible and looks as realistic. Where when you take a game like NFL Blitz, I mean, it's fun and stuff. But nobody, I don't think, will ever take it as seriously or competitively, especially online, unless it's like the most updated, realistic thing, which I mean isn't a bad thing.
It's just more market, more like developers and publishers, that kind of stuff. They're looking towards the multiplayer and online market because that's a big market right now. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to dig in and get a hold of that because a lot of people have Xbox Live or the PlayStation Network and they want to play online. They want to play online with a friend that's like the next state over, or they don't want local play anymore. Local play has basically been banished from the gaming realm at this point, and it's very taboo. And I can understand why. Just there was something about, especially with these old sports games, like what I really, really remember when I, whenever I played them, is always having that person there and being like, oh, yeah, and like, that kind of stuff, or like celebrating, or like being like, oh, I can't believe you got that. It was that interaction of that person being right next to me. That was a key moment that has always stuck with me with those games.
That's true. I'd say for anybody who plays any kind of co-op or competitive game, like if you're like you amateur or casually play it, as far as like for major tournaments, I know professional players, especially in the fighting game community, local is what they want to do because the online has lag and stuff like that. So anybody that's serious and professional, I know they practice and they go to tournaments and want to do local. But yeah, online for like anybody who's new to it or casual, which is basically makes up the entire, all the money these people are getting at it. It's not from the professional, it's from all the casual players. Yeah, like side by side is gone. I think the last time I played a co-op game where I was actually sitting next to somebody was with Number Editions. We were playing Mario Kart 64. And the only reason we play it next to each other is because it's not online.
Again, with the whole serious of it, yeah, a lot of more serious sports fans, they do want that more realistic element to the games and that. But this is like from personal experience, and myself included, I like the ones that aren't serious because it's easier for gamers like me and who play these other games and like play adventure games, play like RPG games, all that kind of stuff. It's more fun for us because we don't have that serious element of we're following these sports. We know these people. Yeah. We watch them on an average basis. Like, we don't know the rules of it.
It's also kind of like those games, like, you play Madden for so long, you play a game like that, it's like a breath of fresh air. And it kind of reminds you, like, oh, yeah, these games are supposed to be fun. Because, you know, I played competitive online games. I'm sure we all have. And you get in those zones where you're so serious that you're not having fun anymore. And those games...
I've had a lot of times with that.
Yeah, I mean, my closet door is broken because I was playing Street Fighter Online. I got so pissed, I threw my arcade stick at it. It busted in the bottom and broke it off the hinge because I was so pissed. Now, mind you,
I've had a lot of moments like that also.
Yeah, mind you, I was drunk. But take it so seriously, it's good to have a game that you can just basically f*** around at. Like, if you get beat 62-7 in Blitz, you don't care because you're having so much fun. It just looks so f***ing hilarious.
And another game that's like that is that Gretzky 3D. And me and my friend, we just picked it. I have that on my shelf. And we just tossed it and played it on my N64 the other day. It was so much fun. We like 3-minute periods. Right off the bat, like your characters come out of the ice and then they're at a face off. Like if you that's not serious at all. But that is so much fun. And just that's so much nostalgia and it's so much fun with it. And these games that take it so serious, it's hard for me to get into. And again, like you said, that serious element can really take you out of the game and just make you so frustrated that you don't want to play. I kind of miss these sports games that had a lot of fun with it. The last one that that I played that came out that was really fun was the EA Street games. I have the NBA Street one, and me and my brother endlessly played that when we had our GameCube, and I still have my GameCube, but yeah, generations of gaming, and yeah.
Street Hoops and some game where it's like ogres and goblins playing football are the only two sports games I've played in the past 10 years.
Oh, and I played the NFL Street games. Those are a blast.
Really remember on the SNES was Extra Innings.
Oh, yeah.
And I really remember because I read about it in Nintendo Power, mostly just by looking at the pictures that showed these cute cheerleader girls kicking their skirts up and happy guy walking by. I'm like, I want to play this game. Oh, it's a baseball game? I don't care. Those girls are cute. You never see them.
Baseball doesn't even have cheerleaders.
Yeah. It's a pretty straightforward baseball game that occasionally, and only if you win an entire 9 innings... in basically real time to be a cheerleader.
I'm gonna go PC. I remember playing on the PC. Did anybody play Hardball?
Oh, I played that like a long time ago. Like my one cousin had it, and I played it a couple times when I was there. And I do remember that one. Yeah.
I remember when I was in middle school, when we were in the tech lab, whenever we were doing computer training or whatever, all I do is just play that game because somehow it was on there. And I'd always play Home Run Derby, and I'd like be smashing the space bar. And like I just remember that, and the graphics are terrible, but I remember with like Hardball, like I swear to God, it seemed like every 5 months they came out with a new one. Like yeah. 1 through 9 must have come out in the span of like 2 years. And which is weird that I played so many baseball games. I don't really like baseball. I think when I'm a kid and sports like appeals to me, I think I'm just grab it and I'm like, that's cool.
The only games that really appealed to actual gamers or tried to appeal to them were the Nintendo licensed one with Mario on it, like Mario Golf, Mario Kart, Mario Tennis, Mario, just recently the Mario Soccer and Baseball, like that kind of stuff. Some of those games are actually really, really fun.
There's like Olympic one now with Mario and Sonic the Hedgehog.
I did see that one. I haven't played it, mostly because I'm not really impressed or driven to play it. But some of those games are really, really fun, minus Mario Golf. That was honestly so boring.
Mario Golf on the NES, I agree with, but Mario Golf on the 64 is way better.
Mario Kart 64, that's classic. And Mario Tennis is great. They're actually coming out with a new Mario Tennis one for the 3DS, and I'm really excited for it because these games have always appealed to me, and they've always tried to appeal to me, and the majority of them are really, really fun.
I know that's all Wii had for a while, the Nintendo Wii. First couple, all they had were just effeminate sports games.
I found out about this game just now, though, that was called Chef Boyardee Presents Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden Chapter 1.
What?
Yeah, I've been reading this. This is some of the most insane shit that I've ever seen.
This was a legit game. The game takes place in a post-cyber-apocalyptic New York called Neo-New York after a chaos dunk causes the death of millions. Charles Barkley's son is struck by a dart containing diabetes, prompting Barkley to seek out none other than Wilford Brimley to cure him. Brimley hooks Barkley's son up to a massive insulin machine where he is kept alive, but at the expense of Brimley, who dies as a result of his own case of diabetes.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page of that. It's presented as an unofficial sequel to Barkley Shut Up and Jam and Space Jam. And it has JRPG style battles. And I'm just scrolling down. And the word that pops out the most, because it's all in capitals, is Blood Moses. And it was released in 2008. Oh my god.
They find the Blood Moses headquarters on the slave ship Necron 5.
See, this is a sports game I could get behind.
Hellbane leads Charles Barkley to the tune of LeBron James, revealing that Hellbane's real name is Michael Jordan.
This is something created in, like, RPG Maker. That's what this was.
They must seek out Cyber Dwarf, who was hidden in New York sewers.
Cyber Dwarf. I have to play this game. I seriously have to play this.
I'm just staggered. I don't think this is a real thing.
It looks pretty legit from...
You should link it.
This could be a huge hoax, though. And if it is, then my hat goes off, because this is very well crafted.
And apparently it is endorsed by Chef Boyardee.
Yeah. That's the topper, man. It's like Chef Boyardee just got really bored with, like, horrible ravioli.
Oh, the full title name is The Tale of Games Presents Chef Boyardee's Barkley Shut Up and Jam Guide in Chapter 1 of Hoop's Barkley Saga.
And according to the development here, it says the game was first made in RPG Maker 2003. So.
Oh, okay.
It features traditional JRPG-styled battles and dungeons.
Oh, there's an official site. I'm going to go there. Oh my god, there's screenshots. Yeah, that's totally RPG Maker. No, I don't want to download it.
I want to download it.
Download it!
I want to read. Oh, they have another game. The Sewer Goblet, the Wu-Tang Clan, and the Wu-Tang Baby.
They also have The Diary of Anne Frank. They make a video game for The Diary of Anne Frank.
Wow. I'm wondering if that Barkley one has a level where, like, you have to find some scrambled eggs to keep your energy up.
And then Kobe's like, it's okay, bro, just buy your wife a $2 million ring and she'll just forget about it. Here's the screenshot, the thumbnail from the YouTube video for the Barkley game.
One billion B-balls
dribbling simultaneously throughout the galaxy. 1 trillion B-balls being slam dunked through hoop throughout the cosmos. I can feel that's it. But all the B-balls, man.
When I first read it, I thought he was stuttering.
balls.
The ball.
Another screenshot has Barkley saying, talking to like a
Michael Jordan? That's a nice way to greet a friend, Charles. Hey, I just was in the neighborhood. I thought I heard some dribbling.
And in that avatar of Charles Barkley, he looks like he has been shot up with so much heroin.
You saying acting all buddy-buddy just because we used to be friends? Changed, bird.
Dude, oh my god, if you go to the screenshot of one of the battles, he actually has a green basketball that he
and
fights
he looks
with.
Like, and he looks like the character from NBA Jam. I was about to bring
it. It looks like he has some cabbage or something, or a head of lettuce.
And then you got Flava Flav down at the corner.
That actually looks like something from like Streets of Rage or something.
It is. That looks like Skate from Streets of Rage.
For our listeners, check this out at talesofgames.com. Some wild stuff.
And why is Michael Jordan wearing a Dick Tracy hat?
Why not, Charlie? Why not?
That's not Michael Jordan. That's the bastard child of Michael Jordan and smooth criminal Michael Jackson.
I was going to say,
yeah, you didn't know.
So I'm looking at their Diary of Anne Frank game, and it brags that it does not only convey the Diary of Anne Frank through digital technology, but also lets the users, for the first time, experience the book in its truest, 100% most canonical form. This has never been done before.
For a reason.
It's a side-scrolling adventure.
And one of the... check out this screenshot.
The Holocaust was a side-scrolling adventure for everybody.
Is it the one where she's on the platforms and there's like a bug throwing stuff at her and she's collected 4,000 pounds of gold?
No, I'm talking about this one where there's like a giant tree, a cloudy sun and cloudy sky and everything, and it's all like bright and like it looks something out of like it looks like something that's a background in a Sonic game or something.
And I don't know if this is anti-Semitic because she's collecting pounds of gold.
It sure is.
Wasn't she stuck in an attic? I don't know.
Yeah, why?
Maybe, that to say? Oh. I don't know.
Maybe they expanded it and they go in depth with her diary and she is just a very imaginative child and then she falls asleep and then this is when the adventure happens.
Okay, that reminds me of something. I don't know how welcome an Anne Frank joke would be, but here we go. There's a show on IFC called The Whitest Kids You Know.
I've seen it.
Okay.
Yeah. After all, he's from Canada.
The sketch. Well, hey, there you go. The sketch, two American soldiers during World War II, they're in the Anne Frank house in Amsterdam, and they're like, this is after the battle, they're all going through like the wreckage and stuff, and this one soldier's like, hey, I found this girl's diary. He's like, that's not cool, man, don't read that. You know, she might be looking for that. And he goes, dude, she was Jewish, I'm pretty sure the Nazis got her. He goes, well, then definitely don't read that. He goes, no, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take it back to America, and I'm going to sell it and make money off it. Kids are going to read this in schools. And he goes, man, anyone who does that is a worthless piece of shit.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
I love that one.
Once again, apologies to our Jewish listeners.
Both of you.
Well, blame Tales of Games.
Yes, they're to blame, really.
I think I'm more offended by the Wu-Tang Clan and the Wu-Tang Baby.
It was an ordinary day at the Wu-Tang Mansion. Ghostface and Raekwon tossed around a football in the backyard while ODB, RZA, and the rest of the gang watched the game inside. What nobody expected was the knock at the door that would change their lives forever. It was Ed McMahon with the Publishers Clearinghouse.
Hey-o!
Much to their surprise, a tiny but majestic baby with a mysterious pendant was on their doorstep, and with nowhere else to go and no sign of who the baby belonged to, the Wu-Tang Clan had no choice but to adopt the tot and nickname him the Wu-Tang Baby.
Oh my god. Dude,
that game looks like it's built like Ultima or like Exile or something like that.
I'm looking at one of the screenshots and it has all the characters and it's selected on Method Man, and down below it has like a short, it has like starting gear, Glock,
yeah.
30 bullets, chicken leg, spells, and his abilities. Science Method Man's full name is Scientific Method Man, and his Wu-Tang's official group scientist. He has harnessed the power of science and is capable of using it for destructive and supportive purposes. It's like, what?
I'm going to cure the out of this cancer.
It's the scientific. Let's start with the fucking hypothesis.
Well, he has an intelligence of 16.
Little did they know that this baby was much sought after by an eldritch wizard living in the sewers. A henchman of the wizard, the Wu-Tang Clan was tasked with
cheese
fighting...
Cheese Panda?
Player. Yes, the baby was kidnapped by Cheese Panda XD.
Oh my god. I think that's supposed to be like a emoticon face, like X, like the person writing it just thought it was so funny they did like that XD face.
Well, that
like
means
laughing so hard.
Yes, that means you have to say it like Cheese Panda.
Just close your eyes and what? Cheese Panda.
Cheese Panda.
See, now these are games that have fun with their subject matter.
Yeah, see, now I'm trying to decide on my new CB handle. It's either Cheese Panda or Wu-Tang Baby. I'm torn.
Or Blood Moses.
Scientific method, man.
I might have to make that my new Steam name.
You got to gather data, bitch!
What was the next topic? What were we talking about next?
Apparently that new Joss Whedon movie. That fucking hack.
Oh, right. Well, who actually saw The Avengers? I did.
I just saw it. I just got out of the theaters from it, and I don't know if you guys liked it, but
I've not seen it yet.
It is the coolest movie I've seen in a while. Like, that has been released in theaters of 2012, 2011. It is possibly the coolest movie I've seen. Every character just spews coolness onto the screen.
Bear in mind,
all over the audience.
Well, you know, Dustin, I thought you were cool at one point. And
I thought.
Okay, but the movie does have flaws, I'm going to say that. But overall, I thought it was an awesome movie. Just what I didn't like is some forced comic relief that they put in there from the Hulk. But other than that...
Let me get this straight. And Charlie, if you don't want any spoilers, just close your ears and hum to yourself.
Earmuffs.
The opening scene, which in my opinion is quite possibly one of the worst scenes in this movie, and maybe in cinema altogether, is the demigod car chase scene.
Which is
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's literally... Quick, follow the demigod in the SUV. That one was really... Like, I first saw that,
That did feel really out of place for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you had an out-of-body experience kind of looking around like, is this for real? Like, really? He's escaping on, like, a Jeep? Like, what the f*** is going on? Like, that part... The other part I want to talk about is that... Well, let me at least say good things. I did an article about what I hated about it, because I actually didn't really like it. I'll say the good things. A... Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye is really awesome.
I thought he was really good. He like I said, all these characters I thought were very cool. Like I sound probably stupid just constantly using the word cool, but that's like I was sitting there watching the screen, watching these characters, and just being amazed at like how badass these characters were in every way, because these are characters that I've endlessly read about as a kid, and just to see them up on the screen doing what they do, like they do, instead of like Fantastic Four where they f***ed that up royally and made it stupid as all hell.
I said hum, not whistle.
But yeah, like, this is how you do a superhero movie, in my opinion. This is how it's done.
I don't know. Okay, I like Jeremy Renner. Let's talk about the characters. Jeremy Renner is good. Of course, Robert Downey Jr. is fine. Chris Evans was fine. I didn't mind Hemsworth as Thor. That was okay. Mark Ruffalo, I felt Bruce Banner there was not enough of it, but he did do a fine job.
Oh, yeah. I felt, too, there was not enough of him.
Yeah. It's that movie kind of made me feel like they're like, oh, people don't care. They just want to see the Hulk. And that's, I think, Jowski, that's what you told me. He said people don't care just as long as they see the Hulk. And, that was fine. Okay.
I gotta say, the Hulk did look amazing in it. He did look really, really good.
I thought the Hulk looked fine, except for his face looking like Mark Ruffalo. Because
I thought it worked.
In the last Hulk movie, they didn't try to make him look like Edward Norton, okay? That just reminds me of Fight Club Hulk or something. But anyway.
That would be awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Now, I think he did a great job.
I thought he was great.
He was really good, but... They kept putting him in bullshit parts in the movie that were absolutely terrible. We talked about the car chase scene. Other scene, auction house scene, where he brings everybody outside. He gives them a big old speech.
Oh, yeah, no, that, okay, that where he's just like, yes, everyone kneel. That just felt like...
No. Not that he said that. It's the fact that he's in Germany giving a speech in English.
Okay,
that's the problem.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
I didn't actually catch that.
Like, I was watching the movie, and it's like auction house in Germany, and he's talking to everybody, and I was with my friend Chris, and I looked over and was like, aren't they in Germany? Why is he speaking in English?
And
he's like...
And then right at the beginning of the movie, when we're introduced to Black Widow, we have a scene where all the characters in that scene are speaking fluent Russian.
And it's subtitled, like, yeah. But
so I can understand that, yeah. That if I did catch that, that would have brought me out of the movie.
Yeah, like I mean that didn't that was just a part of it, but I thought the character's really good. I just think the creators with this did a really piss poor job of putting it together. And plus, I kind of felt like Loki was f***ed up because he was basically the Chitauri's bitch. He didn't have a double cross scheme. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really Loki. But aside from that, like the actors,
I loved how they had him in the costume.
The actors did a good job, but there were just so many plot holes and everything. And Kevin, I know you saw it. What were your thoughts on it?
I thought it was pretty fun. I enjoyed it. I disagree with you. I thought there was plenty of Bruce Banner. I thought he was key. Especially in that character, I know I turned to my wife at one point and go, I really feel like he's channeling that building rage, like he's just about to burst at any time. So I like Mark Ruffalo's performance. I like Tom Hiddleston's Loki a lot. The car chase scene was stupid. I didn't really think too much about the German thing. I just, you know, it's like a lot of movies do that though, where it's just like they're in this country, they're all speaking the king's English, you know.
My biggest thing is why I think this movie was really, really good. And I'm not going to do that stupid thing where I'm like, it's take your brain out, leave it at the door, and then watch and enjoy big, dumb action movie. I think it was a good movie for what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be superheroes going in, fighting, big, loud explosion, but staying true enough to the fans and pleasing them. It's no like Goodfellas, or it's no like nothing like that. It's no Godfather. It's no epic dramatic story driven movie. It's an action movie. It's a big action movie.
I have to disagree with you with one thing, because I swear to God, I'm the only person that literally says that they didn't like this movie. If you go to Google, type in any sentence that has hate in the Avengers in it, and it shows the post up, because I swear to God, I was the only one who wrote something negative about it. At least it feels that way. But a lot of people were saying that the movie didn't feel as long as it did. For me, I thought the first half of the movie was crawling by and just really going slow for me, especially after the bogus action scene at the beginning. Like, there'd be spurts of entertainment, but it was going really slow until about the later half, where everything was starting to come together and culminate in the ending climax. Did it pick up for me? But I thought it went pretty slow. But I will agree that the movie was entertaining. I cannot take that away from it. The movie was entertaining, and it did take me a few days to actually decide my opinion about it, because my mind wanted to say that I liked the movie, but I just, my gut feeling with some of those scenes, it was just, I couldn't do it. So what I'm eager for this movie to come out on DVD with like either an extended cut or deleted scenes to see if maybe they explain more. And if it's explained like nicely done, like it doesn't have to be a drawn out explanation, but if some stuff are explained, like who the Chitauri are, which apparently
are... Yeah, that would have been nicer for those who haven't read the comics. And then also, what also took me out of it, and I didn't much care for, is how they just blatantly... Bruce Banner comes back. He's like, I'm always angry. Turns into Hulk. Hulk's not kicking the shit out of these guys.
Yeah.
Whereas half an hour ago, he was gladly punching them in the face.
Yeah.
The runtime I felt was really short, and I was wanting a lot more.
Yeah.
Because the whole movie, I was like, I'm hoping this doesn't end. I don't want this to end. I hope it keeps going. Please keep going with the story. But yeah, there was no time for them. They didn't put anything in there for him to get to that point where the Hulk agrees with the Avengers and works with the Avengers. That's brought up earlier in it. That's brought up earlier where he's talking to Tony Stark. Tony Stark's like, control it. Like, they talk about that.
Yeah, like out of nowhere, he's, okay, all of a sudden he has a grip on this. Like, he got, like, and...
But then they try and counterweight it with that stupid scene with the comic relief from the Hulk and Thor. Everyone was laughing, and I just sort of cringed. I was like, it felt really forced.
Is Dr. Henry Pym in there?
No, Hank Pym was not in it. Now, I swear to God, before this movie came out, I looked at this movie on IMDb, and I saw an actor playing as Hank Pym, but I think they might have cut him out as the final thing, but I can't be too sure on that.
Unless he's like a cookie.
If I'm not mistaken, Edgar Wright is working on an Ant-Man movie.
That'd be cool. I'm not sure if maybe a general American audience would be ready for an Ant-Man film. Like, comic book lovers will, but for, like, a general audience...
See, if they did set this one up for a sequel, and if they introduce the rest of the Avengers into this, like Wasp Girl and Ant-Man, and I think that would work if they introduce them through that.
Tom, you've watched you've read Identity Crisis, right?
Yeah. You let me read that. Yes.
That's right. It was I believe it was the Atom whose girlfriend like stole his suit and killed a bunch of people.
Well, she didn't.
Yes. Yeah.
One called down. Yeah, and murdered. She murdered that one girl or whatever.
Yeah.
Sue. Yeah. Oh, it was. That should be a movie.
Okay.
Well, yeah. They go really. If you have read the Blackest Night, Brightest Day, Green Lantern series, they really, really go in depth with that story and bring back a lot from that. And it goes in depth with the Atom basically coping with it and mm-hmm. trying to get past it, and it's really intense.
Did it have Hal Jordan as the Phantom?
No.
Damn.
No.
I want to go back to the Avengers. Just two quick things. First of all, my favorite cameo in the movie was Harry Dean Stanton when Bruce Banner came to after crashing in the factory. And the security guard that brought him the clothes.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Brain. It was Brain from Escape from New York, which I don't think I've mentioned. I think I told you this, Kevin. One thing that really, really pissed me off is, okay, Black Widow never really considered her Avenger. She was always a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. The part where they're fighting and the camera turns around all of them and it shows the Avengers and it shows Black Widow as at least she's part of it, that pissed me off.
I do agree that they're trying to shoehorn her in as part of the Avengers, even though she's always been a S.H.I.E.L.D. operative in the comics and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, let me ask someone else. Let me ask my do you think Scarlett Johansson should be welcome anyway? Yes, I do!
Well, it's kind of hard for it to say no when it's standing up erect when we're talking about Scarlett Johansson, all right?
Excuse me, I have something to add.
A stain to add, yeah, that's what it has.
Yeah, please.
As a non-comic reader, I didn't have an issue with it, so.
Oh, that's fine. And you know, and this is no offense to you, Kevin, at all. I'm just saying, like, I think that movie is actually better if you didn't read the comic.
Because reading your review is like, well, that's why I think my opinion on the movie doesn't really matter, because I was obviously a target for this movie because I kind of like certain aspects of it, but I'm not super familiar with the comic, so it was fun for me.
And you're intelligent and competent enough to know that the car chase scene was still stupid.
Yeah.
What do you think of like a crossover movie with the Avengers and the X-Men now?
Well, that's what the comic book series is now. If anybody's read it, don't spoil it for me because I'm like 5 Marvel series behind and I'll eventually get there. But the Avengers is versus the X-Men now in the comic series. So.
First comics guy went through and read like all the old X-Men comics, and it was an early X-Men comic where they had made a crossover with the Avengers.
Was it with Slim Summers? Yes, Scott Summers' original name is Slim Summers, just
it
saying.
Was like, it was like X-Men 5 or 10 or something like that, and it's like the X-Men are on their way to stop whatever throwaway one-use villain they had at that time. Mm-hmm. They like almost hit some woman with a car, and they stop the car and get out. But the Avengers happen to be walking by, and they're like, "They almost hit that woman with their car. Let's go f*** them up." And that's
like, that sounds like early comic book story right there.
But before the movie, there was a preview for The Amazing Spider-Man. I'm really in the middle of the road on this movie-wise, comic book-wise. Well, even lately, I haven't been a fan of Spider-Man for the past like few years now. I thought the...
What was the last good Spider-Man book you read?
It's been a while since I've picked up any good Spider-Man or even, like, attempted to. But movie-wise, I'm really in the middle of the road about it. I'm here nor there. From a standpoint, I'm looking at it could be better than the Sam Raimi ones. My girlfriend turned to me and said, "Well, what did you think?" I gave my opinion, and then she's like, "What... Do you think they're going to introduce Spider-Man somewhere down the line?"
That's what I
and like too. Intertwine it with the Amazing Spider-Man. And I thought about that, and I'm really hoping they don't, because it based on the Amazing Spider-Man trailer and the Avengers, they look like completely two different movies, and I don't think that Spider-Man character that they're showing in those trailers will mesh with that group, the Avengers group that they have for the movies.
I would actually hope that they do that, though, because seeing the previews for the Avengers...
No.
Like, seeing, like Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man with Chris Evans as Captain America, it gives me the same kind of thrill that I got when I was a kid and I watched the Laugh Olympics and seeing, like, Huckleberry Hound and Scooby-Doo in the same place.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you why they wouldn't do that. Because Spider-Man came in the Avengers as part of the new Avengers. And who also came with Spider-Man was Wolverine. So if they're going to do some type of new Avengers type thing, you'd have to tie Wolverine in that. There's no Wolverine movie coming out soon, so I doubt that. But I understand what you mean in the middle of the road. Now, personally, as a comic book fan, I hate Spider-Man. I've never really liked Spider-Man. In fact,
I grew out of Spider-Man.
But I like the Scarlet Spider better than Spider-Man. And I know it's actually Peter Parker. Spoilers, it's been more than 10 years. Everybody should know. Yeah. And,
if you want to like Spider-Man more...
No, I don't.
okay, well, if our listeners would like to like Spider-Man more... you talking about Spider-Man reminded me of, like... I think it was a 7 or 8 issue arc where it was Spider-Man and Daredevil versus the Gang of Four. Did you ever read that one?
I haven't read that one.
It took place sometime after Karen Page was killed.
Okay.
But it made me like Spider-Man a whole lot more because he's like having to defend his snarkiness to Daredevil. Like, you know, like that's the way that I deal with it and stuff. Yeah. It was kind of humanizing in like looking at Spider-Man. I thought that was pretty cool.
For the movie though, I can tell how you feel like in the middle. This is how I feel about the movie. Now, as far as the Sam Raimi movies go. I like the first one. I didn't really like the other two. For this one...
I liked the second one.
I liked the Captain America movie.
Yeah.
For this one, every single time I see a new trailer for it, I get such a sick feeling every single new thing I see that's revealed in it. Because, and this is for one thing, and I'm just going to say this. If Gwen Stacy dies in this movie at the hands of the Lizard, I will ban this movie from, like, existence.
I would, too, because accidentally causing Gwen Stacy's death, like, defined Spider-Man from that point forward.
Yeah. And that's because of the Jackal, not the fucking Lizard.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the film adaptations they have are very based on the Ultimates universe.
Yeah, that's what I've been noticing. All the new Marvel ones, the ones that they did before, they're basically trying to reboot it and then do it all in the Ultimate Universe. Yeah.
That's what Nick Fury looks like, Samuel L. Jackson instead of David Hasselhoff.
And I read a lot of Ultimate Spider-Man, and in Ultimate Spider-Man, he had a lot of dealings with S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers and everything, so I would not be surprised if they cross over a bit.
No, and that goes into what I was going to say. That could be a possibility with the crossover, and then also with the Wolverine thing. They had a chance to have Wolverine and introduce him into this series, and that was back in the Captain America movie, the part where they're at that bar, the tavern. They could have totally had Wolverine in there, and they should have, in my opinion. I was expecting Wolverine to be there, because in the Marvel Universe, Captain America did fight alongside Wolverine in World War II.
Yeah. Now, I'd like to remind our listeners that Dustin is Canadian.
He's
probably biased when it comes to Wolverine.
Yeah.
Well, I like Wolverine. I don't like the movie Wolverine.
The reason the movies, how they don't tie into the comics is... also, because didn't Captain America... like, he kept getting thawed out for each war. Because I remember he was in Vietnam, and that's where he met Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos, and he also met the Punisher there, too.
Right.
But in the movies, it's just World War II to present. So I'm assuming that's, like, maybe an Ultimates timeline thing.
There's going to be a prequel at some point.
But the Spider-Man ones, Alex, since you read it, I remember, because I have Ultimatum, and... does he not get with Mary Jane till way later than normal, or he doesn't get with her at all?
From what I read, and I read, like, the first few story arcs, gets with her for a while, but then Gwen Stacy is introduced, and he's...
Oh, so it's reversed. So it's Mary Jane first in the Ultimates, then Gwen Stacy.
He gets with Gwen he doesn't really get with Gwen Stacy, but Mary Jane leaves him because she's like, you're gonna cheat on me with her, and gets jealous. And then Gwen Stacy gets, like, thrown out of her parents' house and lives with Peter and Aunt May, but then Carnage kills her.
Oh, so she dies anyway in either series. I don't get the Ultimate series. I never bothered reading them.
No, Ultimate series just ended up pissing me off in so many ways. And especially when they led into the Marvel zombies.
Yeah, and like, when I first got into comics, like, I picked up, there was the first Ultimate book I got was, it was called Ultimate Galactus Trilogy. Now, I didn't know that it meant, like, Ultimate as in some different timeline. I just thought that was the name of it, like, Ultimate Galactus Trilogy, it's so yeah. great.
It's extreme!
Yeah, exactly, and I, like, flipped through it. And, like, in that, nobody likes the X-Men in the Ultimate Universe. Like, they're enemies.
Yeah. No, yeah, Ultimate Universe, just, it really ended up, in my opinion, alienating myself.
Yeah.
As an older Marvel fan with the new Thor storyline, the new storyline basically for every single character, new origin, and, like, how it happened and that kind of stuff. It really threw me off and is like, well, I grew up knowing this and you're going to throw this at me and tell me like, this is how it happened now. And it's like,
I don't know what's real anymore.
Penis.
That word is FCC appropriate.
Is bleeding penis FCC appropriate?
Yeah. Haven't you ever listened to Dr. Laura?
What about screaming bleeding penis?
You just gave me a new band name.
That's appropriate because it's just another word for Rush Limbaugh.
This has been another fantastic and exciting episode of Geek Juice Radio. Thank you very much for listening. Please be kind enough to visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com, where you will find many of my short films in the coming weeks. On behalf of all of you, Kevin Daly, what have you got coming up?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Actually, no, I'm going to be reviewing a couple of movies for Dystopia Month.
And he's planning our Pathfinder game.
Well, yeah, there's that, too, which I want to stream, but we'll see if I can get that to work.
So stay excited for that. Tom, bad guy, what have you got coming up?
I don't have anything coming up that I can think of. With me, it's off a whim. I'll probably come out with another Bring Tom Your Beer, some other review. I don't know. Just if you have Twitter, follow me at @Tom_badguy, and you'll know when the new stuff comes out.
Dustin, kid, anything else to add?
People can find me at youtube.com/playerv5player. And they can find me live streaming on a average basis, on a weekly basis, at twitch.tv/circuitbreaklive. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at PV5P, and also search our Facebook page, that's Circuit Break. So you can check that out, check out our videos on YouTube, and yeah.
I think I prefer a standard basis. That has a nice ring to it. Alex Dowski, what have you got coming up?
Nothing but movie reviews for Dystopia Month, all these kinds of dystopian films.
That's been going very, very well, by the way.
Yes.
I've been enjoying Dystopia Month. And I have got a stand-up comedy contest coming up in July at Comedy Works in Denver. So if any of you are listening from Denver, come see me at Comedy Works. I don't know if it's going to be an audience vote, but if it is, then you have goddamn better well vote for me.
Well, I want to thank Dustin for being on the show. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
No,
thank you for having me. It was fun being on here.
Good. That's what we want to hear. And that's what you're paid to say.
I swear, these guys didn't pay me anything to be on here.
In fact, we asked for money. We didn't get any. So thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for the projection booth, and we will see you next week. Last night I walked along with a whisper in my ear. Pretending all my aspirations and my fears. And when the sun came up, the voice had disappeared. But it would linger on for years. He said you can't just blame it on her mother. Claim everything they did was always wrong. And there ain't no turning back when our train is off the track. And there's nothing we can do but watch it crash. And there ain't no right or wrong where we know it won't be long. And there's nothing we can do but watch it crash. They'll still just make believe. Mercy, mercy, May. We can't just blame it on our mothers. And everything they did was always wrong. And there ain't no turning back when the train is off its track. And there's nothing we can do but watch it crash. And there ain't no right or wrong when we know it won't be long. And there's nothing we can do but watch it crash. So
that's all they took. That's all we had to offer, only dirty looks. And when they realized we'd given all we could, that's when they finally understood. Mercy, mercy me. Haunted by the memories of things we'll never see. Guilty for the statements that we'll never get to speak. Mercy, mercy me. No turning back when your train is off its track, and there's nothing we can do to watch it crash. And there ain't no right or wrong when we know it won't be long, and there's nothing we can do to watch it crash. Watch it crash, and there's nothing we can do but watch it.